All right. Well, good to be with you today. If you were here last week, we started a series called Brand New Day. Pastor Roger shared a good word about living in a supernatural way. Now, we can all make changes to our lives on our own, but none of those changes are going to bring us to a brand new day without God working in us, His Holy Spirit working. We're going to talk more about that today. God is ready to move in your life today. Do you believe that? God is ready to move in this church today. If you're joining us online, God is ready to move in your house or car or wherever you are today. Amen. I want to read a quick scripture. This is like a focus for us for this year. This is only part of it, though, so sorry about that. It's not the whole thing. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10 says, "However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." God has great things in store for us, church, and we can be confident in that. Now, we're doing a series. So again, if you were here last week, it's not that I copied Pastor Roger, but it's a series. So it's kind of the same theme, right? It's a brand new day. We're trying to live God first, letting God make the difference. So we're going to be talking about that today. You don't have to applaud. In fact, if you did, it'd be weird now because I said that. But I actually have a title for my sermon. It is called "Don't Be Foolish, Be Wise." I know for most of you that would not be applause worthy, but if you're Steve in the back or Val Coleman, and you have waited like a week after I preached a sermon to finally get a title from me, I don't know what it is. Some people, they come up with the title first, and then they write the message. I can never think of how to explain what I'm really trying to in just like two or three words. So I chose more than that. Don't be foolish, be wise. Some of you might be like, oh boy, it's the children's pastor speaking. Don't be foolish, be wise. Okay. I was hoping for a little more than that today, Pastor Ben. Truth is, living wise is maybe a little harder than we'd give credit for. I mean, I know from this angle, you may not tell. I know what I need to eat to be healthy. I know the things that I need to do to live as long as a life as I can, and I'm trying to do those things. But it can get hard sometimes when Teresa gives you a giant thing of fudge that you have to, it would be rude not to eat it. So you got to eat that. Absolutely. Being wise is hard. It's harder than we think. Sometimes the wise things seem super hard, and the unwise things seem super easy. And that's a trap we can easily fall into. Now is a time to personally reflect and make myself seem human so we can connect on some level. There are so many stories I could tell about unwise things I've done, but I chose the most adorable, and that is, you may have heard this before, when I was in high school, I was dating this super cute girl named Stephanie, who is not here today. But we are married. She's just not here today. Stephanie and I were dating in high school, and I thought, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go and watch the sunset together. And we're going to take a long drive, and it's going to be awesome. And growing up in Albany, about an hour from Albany, is this amazing place called Newport. It's on the coast. Some of you may be already thinking, I know where this story is going and why this was not a wise decision. So I get her up at 4 a.m. This is the summer, okay? So you got to get up super early to make it all the way to the coast before the sunset, or sunrises. And we're sitting there, we're on the beach, and we're looking out on the water, and it's getting lighter and lighter until you realize the sun doesn't rise on the West Coast. The sun is coming up behind us. And we missed the whole sunset. It was beautiful. It was a great moment. And really, in gifts, it's the thought that counts, right? It is adorable, thank you. But I had not had the wisdom to put two and two together and say, oh, that's the worst place to go to watch the sunrise. Does not rise on the West Coast. Do you want wisdom in your relationships? You want wisdom in your marriage? Wisdom with your kids? Wisdom at work with your coworkers? What about wisdom in the things you say? What about wisdom in the things you text or post? When I think of wisdom, what I want to be wise with most of all, and I've spoken on this a couple times, is how I use my time. Now, if you've heard me speak, there's a good chance you've heard me say this phrase, that time is the greatest resource that God has given you to use. Far greater than influence or money, time is powerful, especially when it's given to God. Because he can do it all in an instant. And for some of you, you know, he takes a little longer. It takes a lifetime. But God can do powerful things with the time that we give him. I want to read a verse today from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17. You don't have to applaud. But this is the first slide I have ever had in speaking on a Sunday morning. Yeah. You didn't have to do that. I said you didn't have to, but you did anyway, which makes me feel really good. I do have a few slides this morning, which is proof that God can do a miracle. And he's working in all of our lives today. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 says, "Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Time is the greatest resource God's given us to spend, and I want to be wise with the time that I get on this earth. I want to be wise in how I spend time with my family. I want to be wise when I have a free moment and what I choose to do with that moment. It's awfully hard to be wise after 10 o'clock at night, but I want to be wise every moment I'm awake. I want to be wise even late at night. Do you guys know how they built the pyramids? Math. Hello. Some of you think it was aliens. I didn't hear anybody say it. Some of you think it was aliens. It's engineering and math. A huge amount of labor. Whether you're going to call it slave labor or not, I certainly would. A lot of forced labor and time. Lots and lots of time. What an incredible thing we can do with the resource God has given us, our own lives, which we get to live out. Do you guys know how the Bible was preserved? Diligent people, handwriting, making the paper that they had to write on, copy after copy, word, letter after letter, writing it down, generation after generation after generation. It was time, very powerful. And it's why we have a Bible today. When I think about time, it's not the next step I think about is my family. It's really what I want to get right in life most. I think about my kids. I think about my marriage. If you have kids today, did you know you only get 18 birthdays with that kid before they're an adult? 18 Christmases, 18 summers, falls, winters, springs. And we're not even promised that. When you have a child, it's 18 years sounds like a long time. I don't know why, but 18 summers sounds really short to me. It sounds like it goes by in an instant. I mean, I have 20 toes and fingers. I can count to 18. Those go by super fast. That's 18 chances for me to go backpacking with my boys. And my kids are not newly born, so it's actually far less than that now. 7 years ago, which does seem like it's gone by very fast, I used an illustration that I have had many people talk to me about and say, oh, I remember when you do that. Does anyone remember when I brought out a container that had a bunch of marbles in it? Well, I'm going to bring these out again. If you were not here, first of all, don't be weirded out that the marbles turn to jelly beans. That can happen. This is, as much as my own diligence would allow me, 936 jelly beans. Did you know? If you were to take the number 18 and times it by 52, as in the weeks in a year, you would get 936, right? For you people with kids or grandkids, I'm sorry, grandparents, I forgot to say, you only get 18 birthdays with them before they're an adult. You only get 18 summers before they're an adult. This is the time that we get to spend. Now, some of you are already saying, why are there two? All right. I'm sorry about that. I couldn't find one big enough to fit 936 jelly beans. But that is 936, close-ish. If you remember, I went through my kids and the amount of time that I had left with them. Jude had 566 weeks. Jude is my oldest. When I did this 7 years ago, I had 566 weeks. I have 231 now. Now, have I squandered that 7 years? I sure hope not. I sure hope I haven't wasted the time that God allowed me. But it's a lot less. I mean, there's even less than here, but essentially, like, this is gone with Jude, who is now 13 and has a mustache. I have 335 weeks left with Rowan, assuming they graduate from North, which they probably will graduate from North. I have 439 weeks with Harper, 595 weeks with Sawyer. You only get so much time, which is why it is so precious. The bummer is, when we're most active, we have the most energy, we treat time with the least amount of respect. And it isn't often until much later in life we realize how valuable the time really is and how fleeting it can go past us. I don't know if that sentence makes sense. Somebody look up the word fleeting. That may not have made sense. We can edit that, Steve. We're good. All right, Wanda says we're good. All right. Now, what if you don't have kids at home? And what if you don't have grandkids? Are you off the hook on this? Oh, no, no, no. We have kids attending this church. Did you realize? I don't know why you guys are laughing. I mean, I'm happy about us having kids too. Last year, 2023, we saw first ever in my almost 9 years of being here, we had 30%, over 30% of the overall attendance was in Promised Land, in downstairs in Bethel Kids, or in youth. It's the biggest percentage number-wise we've had since I've been here. There's a lot of kids going to Bethel. Do they know everything they need to know about Jesus? Have they been encouraged in the Lord to the point that they're ready to leave this church and go to a college or move to another place? Do not undervalue the power that you have simply by being a volunteer in kids' ministry. I almost got through without laughing. If you're a senior in high school, got like 30 weeks left till you graduate, right? That time is going to go by super fast. If you attend a church and there are seniors in high school in your church, does that also mean you only have 30 days to encourage that student? Or 30 weeks, I mean? Yeah. 30 more weeks till they leave and go for college. 30 more weeks where you may not get an opportunity again to just write them a note, say, hey, we're praying for you. We're excited you're a part of our church. There's a lot of power with the time that we get. I don't want to bring out a bummer jar, but I kind of am. Actually, this is, believe it or not, just 52 jelly beans, which if we're being honest, there's actually only 50 weeks left in the year. Oh, man, that was like a black licorice. What are the odds? I should give them to you. I'm sorry. What could God do in 50 weeks? You could do a lot. God wants to, eating the jelly bean was a mistake. I'm not going to spit it out because that would be gross. But it's not like chewing like I thought it might. And we're done. God can do a lot in your life this year. You could look back in 2025, which is weird to say, and go, whoa. It didn't seem like there was that much there. But God did so much. So much. Did God do something in your life in 2023? Raise your hand. If you think, yeah, God, don't feel embarrassed if you didn't raise your hand. Sorry. I realize that may make you, I better raise my hand. Sorry. That was a bad question. Awesome. Awesome that God was working in your life. I have to raise my hand. God absolutely moved in my life last year. I mean, you all know, not having a pastor does stretch a church staff a little bit. I am so thankful that I was relying on God and that he was moving and working in my life. I learned so much last year, and God did so much in me. All right. Talk about time, a couple of quick tips. First of all, if you're thinking about spending time wisely, one thing that might help, this might just be like a little bit of verbiage, if you were thinking of it as an investment over spending, what I mean by that is an investment is thinking intentionally about the future, where spending is an immediate response without a lot of concern for what's next. Now, when your son or daughter pukes, you got to spend that time. You don't really have a lot of time to think. You know, you're just working. Life is that way. But also, sometimes we feel tired. We pull out our cell phone, and before we know it, an hour has elapsed, and we've just spent that time, right? There was no investment there necessarily. We just spent it. If you want to use your time wisely, you need to begin to develop the thought behind investing some of that time. One investment you could make, besides being a volunteer in children's ministry, would be to be a volunteer in youth ministry. Never saw that coming. Did you know that our youth are going to have an all-nighter coming up this month? Some of you may have just had a mini stroke when I said the word all-nighter. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about those people who are like, oh, that sounds fun. Well, guess what? We need some help. We need some help with this neon night. I talked to Pastor Daniel this morning. He is expecting 80 students to come to this event. It is going to be awesome and super long. And it would be great if we could run some shifts instead of having one person there all night. So think about that. Neon night is coming up. It is a great way to invest time that you know will have a return in the future, right? Invest in your family. A way to spend your time wisely. Invest in your family. Invest in your relationship with Jesus. And I'm going to put a pin in that because that is exactly what we're going to be talking about second half of this message. Beware of time wasters. Now, this takes a little bit of critical thought because you actually have to look at your time and think, okay, where was I like wasting time? Some of you, that may be a little easier than others, as if you just simply got an app on your phone that tells you how you used your phone and give you the amount of time you were on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or crushing that candy or whatever you were doing. Like, it just gave you a report and said, hey, did you know you were on Facebook for 5 hours today? Because you were. All these are going to help us be wiser with our time, right? Trying to bait and switch you. Because I talk about time because I'm very passionate about it. I want to get home with the Lord. And I want him to say, Ben, well done. You did good with the time I gave you. I want to hear that from Jesus when I get to heaven. Time's very important to me. However, when it comes to seeing something happen in your life, a spiritual awakening, a new day, you are not going to be able to solve that by managing your schedule. It's going to be a work of the Holy Spirit working in your life. Now, one part of that beginning passage talked about using our time wisely because the days are evil. Seemed like there was some amens to that when I read through that part of the passage the first time. The world is crazy right now. It doesn't take a Christian to see that the world is really hurting. Although, I don't know many Christians who aren't seeing everything happening in the world and thinking, oh, I'm going to pay attention because it does seem like some crazy stuff's happening in our world today. I know it's an election year. I know people are on edge. Not unlike the Apostle Paul when he wrote the book of Ephesians. The good news for us today, he continued writing after verse 17. Now I want to reread this section for you because it gives us some insight into how to be wise with your time in the midst of a world that is out of control. Let's reread Ephesians 5, verse 15, 17 through 17. It says this: be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. He goes on to write in Ephesians 5, 18 through 20, do not get drunk on wine. That one hits weird after reading the first three, and then it bumps right into that. But he's going towards something. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be wise with how I live my life. Do you? Yeah, we all do. Then we need to be filled with the Spirit. Now, again, it's interesting as Paul kind of puts it here. He's warning us to take pause on what we fill our lives with. What he chose here was wine. It says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Now, I'm not suggesting we change Scripture, but for an exercise, I don't think it would be too far of a stretch to put something else in there. To say, I should not be filling my life with worry, concern, just an overemphasis on what other people think, what they think of me. I should not be filling my life with selfishness. I should not be filling my life with stress, which some people feel like they literally need to function. Which I read a great book about this year and had to make some changes in my own life. I need to fill my life with my addictions. I need to fill my life with pride. And there's no limit to the amount of things we could choose to fill our lives with. Paul is helping us here by pointing out none of those things are going to satisfy. Though in the immediate, they might satisfy for a moment, nothing could compare to the filling of the Holy Spirit, when you are completely satisfied to the point where you will no longer thirst again. And look at the way the verse describes it. Filled with the Spirit, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. It's bringing the church together. It's inspiring, the Holy Spirit is inspiring us to encourage one another. He's drawing us to worship the Lord. And the Spirit is helping us be thankful for what God has given us, putting our minds in a perspective that actually makes sense, that God is the great giver, and we can be thankful to Him for everything He's done. Now, when I bring up the term filled with the Holy Spirit, some of you are on board already. You're like, yes, this is what we need. Some of you have no idea what that phrase could even mean. Which to me just brings up the question, how does one get filled with the Holy Spirit? And we're going to talk a little bit about that as we begin to close. Worship team, stay seated. I'm not bringing you up 15 minutes early. Just stay seated. Being filled with the Spirit is not about being crazy or wild or radical. In fact, it's really not about you at all. Being filled with the Spirit starts always starts with a time of rest with God. We see this in Jesus' life as 6 different times he's recorded as going to a solitary place, a place to spend time with the Lord, a place to recharge, a place to re-energize. Being filled with the Spirit is all about God and the gift that he wants to give to you. It is not about your striving. It is not about you frantically seeking. It is about God gifting something he wants to give, and God is the best and greatest giver ever. If we want to be wise, we need to be filled with the Spirit. I love how Paul sets up those 6 verses there. World's crazy. We need to be filled with the Spirit if we want to be wise with our time. And I do want to be wise with my time. Now, there are two words in Greek. All right, I'm getting a little nervous on this Greek stuff. If Stephen Olson is watching, I'm sorry, Pastor Stephen. There are 2 different words in Greek for this term. We only have 1, filled with the Spirit. There are 2 distinct words used. The first word, which is used in Acts multiple times, is pimplemi. Don't look it up. That's got to be it. Pimplemi. And it basically is a filling of the Spirit for a certain task. The disciples were filled with the Spirit. They spoke in tongues. They did signs and wonders. They did miraculous things. That is not the word that Paul uses here in the book of Ephesians. The second Greek word is polero. Perfect. It's got to be it. This word, especially in the context of this passage, is far more meaning a complete surrender to God, to be directed, to be influenced, to be governed by the Spirit. To be filled with God's Spirit is to be influenced by him, right? It's the word he uses here. Don't miss the posture. When we're talking about being filled with the Spirit, polero, it's not about sacrifice. It is not about devotion. It's not even about the actions on your part. It's about you stopping and surrendering control so that the Spirit can guide and lead and impact and influence your life. Now, one person has brought this home to me and really solidified this in my theology. His name is Doug Heinsohn. And if you know Doug, he's great. I don't know if he's here today, but Doug, thank you. So many chats we've had in my office have been very impactful for me. And one book that I have read, it's actually a book on the book of Ephesians by a man named Watchman Nee. And it's Sit, Walk, and Stand. It is a very short book, and I believe you can get a free PDF online. But if you're interested in reading that book, please do. It goes through the book of Ephesians. But Watchman Nee writes, Christianity does not begin with walking, it begins with sitting. To sum up the book, he says, all Christianity can be summed up by our surrender and dependence to God. Being filled with the Spirit is not about what you can offer God, but it is in sitting at his feet and resting in the truth that he is very wealthy, that he is very able, and that he loves you and wants to give to you. Being filled with the Spirit is not about what you do. It is a gift from God and something that all believers need in their life. And we access this gift not by devotion or sacrifice, but by sitting with Jesus, spending time with him. What do you think your week would look like if at the beginning of your day, you asked God to lead and guide you? Before you left your house, you said, or maybe left your bed, you said, God, what is it that you need me to do today? What are you going to put in my path? I don't want to miss it, Lord. Help me. What do you think would happen if before you walked into your house after the day, you get off work, you get off from running errands or picking kids up, and you ask God to help? You say, God, my family is important to me, and I don't want to miss this opportunity today. Help. Help me. Asking God to direct you, asking the Holy Spirit to govern your life, to fill you. God does not fill the believer that he loves the most. God fills every believer who wants to be filled. It is a gift from God. I want my attitude to not be, God, watch what I can do, but God, help me, please, which is very easy for me. That might be harder for some of you because I know I'm going to mess it up. Worship team, I want to invite you to come up as we do our second beginning to close. Here at Bethel, our pastors, our staff, we take it super serious. We have a lot of fun. But I mean, we don't minimize the impact that we know we can have in your guys' lives, in our community, in our world. And we don't take lightly the responsibilities that God's given us here. This is why, coming up at the end of this month, we're doing a week of fasting and prayer. Now, you might be thinking, again, Ben said filled with the Holy Spirit a bunch of times. How do I sit at the feet of Jesus? Don't overlook this opportunity coming up. It's going to be January 29th through February 2nd. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we're going to have 4 nights of prayer in here with some worship. And then Friday, we're going to do a night of worship. We're going to praise the Lord. We're going to lift up his name. All those are at 7 o'clock. All those are right here. Might be a great place to start for some of you. For others, it might be a great place to just get back in tune with what God is doing. It is so easy to try to run when what we need to do is stop and rest in what the Lord has done and what the Lord is doing. Getting in tune with his Spirit's a part of that. Today, I hope you recognize that your time is valuable. And I know many of you were super pumped when I was speaking that part because you were already writing stuff down and you had a spreadsheet in your mind. And again, I don't mean to bait and switch you, but the most valuable thing you could do may not be the first things you wrote down or first things you thought, I'm doing the laundry today. That's it. We're getting the laundry done. That may not be the most important thing. Because if we want to live wise, we've got to spend time with Jesus. We've got to open his word. Even if it's confusing or boring, we've got to open his word with the attitude, I'm not checking a box off today. I'm not trying to feel good. I want to learn. I want to hear from you, God, because I need help. because I know I do. And I want to open your word. Maybe it's in prayer. I gave you a few ideas on ways you could pray. But maybe it's in prayer today. That you take a moment. Just ask the Spirit to lead, to guide. Or as that verse described, thank God. And that's a sign. When thankfulness rises up in you, you can be thankful for what God is doing. I want God to move in your life this week. But some of you need God to move today. I don't want to rush service, but I know our Promised Land leaders don't want us to go long because I've been a Promised Land leader. If that's you today, go to the Next Steps table sign after church. There are people there that will want to pray with you. They want to help you lift the burdens that are so difficult for you to hold right now. If the Lord is moving, move with the Lord. And if he's prompting you to get prayer, I hope you do that today. One last passage. I talked about it earlier. It's from Matthew 25:23. It says, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Let's be wise with the time we spend because it matters. And let's live our day filled with God's Spirit, governed and influenced by him. Would you stand with me today as we praise the Lord? Let's go out with a song, a shout of praise to God.